Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Gospel Alliance Radio. I'm Shane Sands. I am your host for tonight. I am the blessed man of the Lord to be the founder and the president, entrusted with the Lord's missions ministry, United in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a show for tonight. It's been a while, and been a little over a week or so since I've been back. I wanted to get back online as quickly as I could. It's been a little bit of time. But anyway, once again, I thought I had it worked out where I could hear from, getting information to, from callers, but my speaker seemed to be dead. I thought I had this worked out the last time. I was kind of excited about this, but I do have a chat room open that if there's a person who wants to come in, you want to ask questions, if you want to have anything discussed for tonight, and I'm going to get into that. Tonight we're talking about, it's open forum night. Whatever is on my mind and heart, that's really where we're going to go. If the Lord opens up, if I can, for some reason, hear a call tonight, which would be really cool. If I could hear the dial tone. So there's just this interface here, I guess, with Blog Talk where I'm not able to hear anything. But regardless, I will be able to give a call to, hopefully find out somehow, some way, what your question is. And if nothing else, I'm going to continue going on as the Lord leads. As I said, it's been a little bit of time since I've been on before, and I've had numerous things running through my mind as far as what we could do a show on, talk about. But quite honestly, very specifically, I've just had virtually a very limited time. The company that I work for, we've been doing the remodel of the restaurant that I work at, and then coming home and all the other things that go on with that. Really, it's been just very tiring, very time consuming. So I thought tonight there's a few areas that have been on my heart, on my mind, and I think about them throughout the day. And since this program, and again, I'll just talk about that real quick and we'll jump back. This program is not designed to be for the theological in-depth debate, in-depth educational type of program. That is that's not what's intended at all. What is intended is for the average person, the average Joe, or Joette, however you want to go about it. Just like what I've talked about, working one, maybe two jobs, got a family, got responsibilities, desiring to serve the Lord, desiring to go in Christ, desiring to train up my family, desiring to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. But man, even throughout all the other things, I'm finding it difficult to set aside 1 hour just for reading and prayer, and I don't have time to even do the 3-4 hours of study. So that's what this program is about, for us just to be able to talk about things, get into topics, discuss very important topics. Even what may seem trivial to some may have definite or meaningful impact to another. So tonight, we're just going to fly off the cuff. There's a few things, like I said, that have been kind of filtering through my head, as I suppose it does with most anybody. You're driving, you're walking, you're at the library, you're even at work, and something comes to your mind and you go, man, I wonder about that. How are we to address that with the Lord? Then we find out, you're like, man, I don't have all of the, I was just looking to see if I saw an error message there. What does God say about this? How do I feel about it? First off, is the way I feel the same as what God says is correct in His Word? So, that's where we're going to be going tonight. We're just going to be going and talking. If you got a call, if you have a question, want to make a comment, go to 929-477-1395. The chat room is open, and I'm pretty much a novice with this. So if you have a question, you want to go through that, you're more than welcome to come through the chat room. It's on Gospel Alliance Radio. It shows me as the only user in there right now, so that's kind of cool. So, let's see. I don't know what that means, but all right. I'm going to put in a nice little welcome sign. My video screen, microphone, it's pretty powerful. So, if you hear any heavy breathing, that could be the dog. You might pick up all other sounds. I'm coming from my office upstairs, so this is kind of cool. It's the first time I've ever really done, I think, an off the cuff type of thing. So with that, I'll give you a little idea of what to expect tonight. I've got roughly 90 minutes, and we're going to start off with a time of prayer. I'm going to open up God's Word. Read from God's Word, and then we're just going to go. Every so often, I'll take a break. I'll put on a commercial, play a Grace Gems, some of men of God from the past, and some of the things that they said as they expounded on the Word of God. I'm going to go ahead and put that stuff out there as well. You find out a little bit more about who we are here at United in Christ Jesus, about Gospel Alliance Radio. I just cannot begin to declare the praises of the Lord enough. He saved me. He saved me. I don't have the words to express to you that joy. I try to somehow put categories on this, things to hopefully let you see inside my own head that you would grasp just the joy and the beauty of what I'm trying to convey when I say that the Lord Jesus, God, He saved me. To know that I am forgiven. To know that it is not about my perfection or my imperfection, but about His perfection and His righteousness and what He has done on behalf of godless people such as myself. It outshines, puts everything else into just mere fluff. While there's many things that have bearing and have importance, nothing compares to the cross and what the Lord Jesus, God-man, God himself who came out of heaven, he came on and he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came and tabernacled, pitched his tent, lived among us. He shed the glories of heaven. He was born and placed in a manger, a feeding trough of animals, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come willingly and joyfully, humbly, first to glorify his Father, and second to redeem a people for his own possession. Sometimes you can say things and you can intellectually agree and understand and know. But when the reality, the truth, when God opens your mind to see and understand his word, to see the beauty, the glory of God that is in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ, He is my treasure. He is everything. He is my creator, my sustainer, the lover of my soul, the one who gives me life and being and purpose, who has given me footsteps to follow in, who guards and protects and intercedes. And even when this world, as harsh as it is, strikes me, his grace is sufficient. This is not my home. My home is with him where he is. And I hear his voice calling. I hear it calling. And I long to be in his presence, to know him, to worship him. I long for those that are in my life around me, for all, to know him, to receive this gift of his. I wish I could. Open up my mind and let you see what I see and feel what I feel. Holy is he, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. So, what I'd like to do, I've already kind of told you what we're going to how we're going to do the program. I'm still not hearing anything in my headset, in my headphones, so this is kind of a pain, but maybe I will hear something if someone calls in. I don't know if anyone is listening out there and wants to call me and just to say hi, hey, so I can test out my headphones and make sure I can actually hear you. That would be fantastic. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Then I think something I've been thinking about today, something that's kind of been dwelling in my mind, I think I'll turn to that part of scripture and we'll go from there. I have no idea what to expect tonight. and I'm kind of excited about it, kind of a little bit off the cuff. So, people say I have the gift of gab. No, this should be a perfect setting. So after we spend a time of prayer, I'll read from God's Word. And then after that, I'll probably go to a commercial, and then we'll go from there. All right. Let's go with joy and thanksgiving and bring our praises and supplications to Him who sits on high. O righteous Heavenly Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, You who have given us Your Spirit as a down payment, as a pledge, as assurance that we are Your children, that we are not given to a spirit of fear and slavery, but children by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You who have created all things for Your glory and praise, created through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom You sent to be a propitiation for our sins. You who are holy and majestic, high above all rule and authority, You act, and who can reverse it? Though, Lord God, You act within Your creation, You are not contained by the heavens or the highest heavens. Though You allow Yourself and condescend to come into and be seen and known because it was pleasing in Your sight, into this creation of Yours, we confess You need nothing. You need no creation to fill any void. We know that You are God. And out of love for Yourself, to glorify Yourself, You have made a creation that may know You and worship You and love You, to know aspects of You that leave us breathless and in fear. For with You there is much forgiveness. Therefore You are feared. Father, as we go into this evening for this program, I don't know what the problem is with the headset, but I do pray that You would grant me a measure of Your grace now and lead me to speak about You, Your Word, the things that are going on in my mind and my heart, or to anybody else's who may contact us. Father, that whether people are listening live or they will listen to this at some other point in time, my prayer is that if they belong to You and they are listening, that they would be built up and encouraged and strengthened and emboldened. And if there is one who is listening that does not know You, does not know Your Son as Lord and Savior, that You would open their eyes to see Your glory that is in the face of Your Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. That You would speak, let there be light into their hearts. Forgive their sin and grant them eternal life. O righteous Father, I confess that I need You and ask that You would strengthen me according to Your Spirit, that I would speak boldly on the items that You've put within me. Yes, Father, please grant this. Glorify and exalt Your name in Christ. Amen. All right. So, get a little drink of water. And jump over to the chat room. Nobody's in the chat room. All right. So, John chapter 17. Very few chapters do we have of the Lord Jesus in prayer. We know that He did pray. We know that He prayed regularly, often, basically all the time, whether He was walking with His disciples, whether it was in private by Himself. as when he sent them out onto the sea and the winds picked up and he went up to the mountain to pray by himself. We know that when he was asked, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples, he taught them the Lord's Prayer, a model for our prayer. But we don't see much in the way of what it is he would specifically pray for. And that we don't have a whole lot to know exactly what. We don't have documented a lot of these prayers of his. So I thought, and it has really been something on my mind in John chapter 17, as we get a very, very clear picture of what Jesus prays for, given the context and the circumstances, but how he prays, what he prays for, who he prays for, what his priorities are, how he approaches the throne of grace, how he approaches his Father. Because when we can look at all sorts of examples and things that go through my mind is, you know, Garden of Gethsemane, when they're going to draw their swords, and Jesus says, do you not know that I could beseech my Father and he would immediately place at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? It's to see that Jesus knew who he was. He knew what was within him. He knew that whatever he would ask for would be granted. He knew what the Father's will was. It pleased him to do the Father's will more than it pleased him in any other aspect. And so, I get going the way I am. I get going around. I'm driving around or I'm walking around, and I start thinking about what was his priority in the high priestly prayer? What was the first thing that he prayed for? And when I think about these things, and so if you're out there and you're going, Shane, what are you getting at? You know, we got to remember that there's not one word in all of Scripture that's irrelevant or just nominal. It has no importance. It doesn't have any meaning, has no purpose. Everything that God has given to us has purpose. His word is living and active. So it's important that when we understand and we look and go, okay, so what is God telling us? What is God telling us? What is he saying to us at any given time? It takes on more dynamic because we start seeing how God thinks. Now, granted, we're talking about our limited capacity to understand. But we do have, God has given us the capacity to understand how Jesus, the God-man, God himself, entering into his own creation, how he thought. And my friends, I tell you that it's it would behoove us to not only think and walk in his steps as he did. He's God. What is pleasing to the Father? The Son. Therefore, if we walk accordingly, we too will be pleasing, because we'll know that our hope and our faith and trust is not in our own works, but in Christ, him crucified, him risen, him ruling, reigning. And I pray today, returning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's go to John chapter 17, and we're just going to read through first part of that. Maybe, I don't know, like it says, open forum night. We'll just play it by ear. We'll see what's going on. And still nobody in the chat room. So, hey, cool. Go to the chat room if you got a question, or call me. And again, 929-477-1395. And here we are at John chapter 17. And if you remember, this is the high priestly prayer. It is before he is taken away and he goes through his suffering. It is a time that the Lord Jesus knows at hand what is getting ready to occur. And so we find out the importance and the earnestness of his prayer life. We find out the things that he prayed for and desired. And so, with that, John chapter 17, the word of the Lord. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. Just lost my place. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may all be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His word. Okay, we'll jump into that when we come back. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, and we'll go from there. Don't forget, join in the chat room. Call in if you got a question, comment. Join me in Facebook, Twitter. All right. That being said, let's see. Here we go.
United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email for those in the U.S., South Africa, and Northern Ireland. From that humble beginning, the Lord allowed us to become a registered missions ministry that has reached hundreds of thousands, if not millions, locally, nationally, and around the world. Today, UCJ is active locally in Ohio and internationally in Ireland. Through street preaching and crosswalking, one-on-one interaction, working with local churches in evangelism training, track writing and distribution, social media, our website, and internet radio, we are so blessed by the many ways the gospel is being proclaimed. To find out more about UCJ and the Lord's saving grace in our lives, visit us today at www.unitedinchristjesus.org. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Andrew Fuller has been quoted as asking, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" To that, a man by the name of William Carey responded, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." You see, some have been called to the task of going down into the laboring wells of gospel proclamation, and others have been given the task of holding tight to the rope and providing support to those who venture out. Both carry a responsibility and a reward. United in Christ Jesus rejoices with those who feel called to join us in the exploration of souls. Equally, we value the necessity of those who are given charge of the ropes. In other words, those who support the work of missions through prayer and financial support. To successfully reach our world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your faithful monthly support. Just go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org and click on the Contribute button at the top of the page. Donation options are conveniently listed there for you. Again, thank you for holding the ropes for our United in Christ Jesus team. God bless you.
All right. Here we are. So you get to hear a little bit about who we are and how you can come alongside and help us. We are a faith-based ministry. Let me back up. I'm Shane Sands. I'm your host for tonight. Thank you for joining in on Gospel Alliance Radio. This is a ministry of United in Christ Jesus and a missions ministry that seeks to glorify God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do is built upon that. That is the bedrock, the foundation. That is who we are and what we are about. We build on that by reaching the lost, by equipping the saints, by outreaches and materials. We have pillars that we do to that we accomplish that mission by. And the Lord has been pleased to open up this door for this blog talk program. I don't consider myself naturally or someone who would feel comfortable on a microphone sitting at my desk. This is a little bit out of my comfort zone, but by God's grace, He's opened this door and led me this direction. So I pray that it is first and foremost glorifying to Him, that I am faithful with what He's entrusted, and second, that it is a blessing to you. So tonight's an open forum night. Wherever we go is wherever we go. And if there's you got a question, comment, call in to 929-477-1395. I may actually just test this to see if I actually can hear. So this will be neat. This is kind of a live thing. We're going to see if I can actually hear it myself. So bear with me, everyone. And we're going to see what happens. I don't know if I'll be able to hear anything, if it's going to come in or not, but we're going to find out. Do, 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 do. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Do, 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 do. Oh, this isn't nice. I'm not getting anything right now. Interesting. Well, it said the call failed, so I'm going to try one more time here real quick to see what happens. I just uploaded, put in the new OS system. Operating system OS, and it's been so much fun. So much fun. I'm going to stop with this one, and I'm going to go grab this other phone. So, yes, we're having a wonderful night of off the cuff. Let me let's see if this works.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Ba, ba, ba. This is interesting. Oh, there we go. Okay, it's showing up, but let me see. Hello? Can anyone hear me? And you know what? I'm not even able to. Let's see. Hello? Hello? All right. So it shows up, but I can't hear anything through my headset. So I'm going to disconnect this now. And so that was a wonderful little game that we just played there. Okay. So, back to where I was. We just got done reading John chapter 17. One of the things I've been thinking on recently is about Jesus' prayer life. What did Jesus pray for? What were his priorities in prayer? And the one prayer that we have of the Lord Jesus that is really the most in-depth is John chapter 17. So if we go into John chapter 17 and we look at that, we find out where, at least I shouldn't say we. What I see is when I start going straight through the pages there, is he has wanted the Father to be glorified. The first priority in the Lord Jesus was that the Father be glorified. And this particularly came by glorifying the Son. Go back a couple of chapters, John chapter 12. And I am going to come over here, go to John chapter 12, and let's start at, verse 23. So we just read John chapter 17. First thing we're seeing there is that Jesus is praying that God the Father will glorify his name. So if we go to John chapter 12, a few chapters before, start in verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." We're just chit-chatting, talking off the cuff here. And one of the things that gets me is that in this day and age, we want to see signs and wonders. We want to have experiences. We want to be enlightened. We want all of the, I want, Shane, me personally wants so many things. So many things that I desire, this world, the people, the body of Christ. We want. We want spiritual gifts. We want holiness. We want accolades. We want successful ministries. We want to do so many things. And it dawns on me, how many of us really, truly want the best thing? The glory of God. That God will glorify himself. They will glorify his name. Here's the part, you know, we get going and we start looking at these things. I'm blown away that I, so much of the time that I see my own ineptness, I see my own fleshliness, my own lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, that the one thing that Jesus did, and granted, I know that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. I know that I cannot keep the law, that I am not perfect. The law shows my imperfection, not only shows my imperfection, my sinfulness, my rebellion, my desperate need for a Savior, my guilt and shame of falling short of God's glory. And so I sit and think about the Lord Jesus, his first priority. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Let me try to encourage us that as we go through our daily lives, that we all look to have the same. Finally, that we look to do the same. That we will start looking at, start desiring to, start making it a priority to look to glorify God first. Let's glorify God. Let's not worry about whether or not I have an experience with God. Because I'm quite certain that if God wants us to have an experience with him, he can make that happen. But I do believe that if God wants us to be wealthy, he'll grant us that. If he wants us to be sick, he'll grant that. Whatever it is that's pleasing to him, whatever it is we need to be conformed to the image of his son, he's more than capable of getting that accomplished. So it's pretty interesting that the first prayer that we really have, in-depth prayer, is a prayer that God would glorify his name. Amen to that. All right, so what next? Let me take a seat back. Kind of think about what's going on. You know, what about Christians in politics? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, since I can't hear anything in my headset anyway, I'm still over in the chat room. So jump on over there and do something on Facebook or Twitter. What about all the stuff that's going on in the world today? Well, I shouldn't say the world, but here in the United States, we're talking about politics. We see all the corruption and the vileness that's going on. We have all of this iniquity going on. Our president seems to be, he seems to be less than genuine when it comes to his engaging of people. He seems to be a little hot-headed, even though I do think it's interesting that his wife, before he ever ran for president, she was interviewed and she said, she told him, if you run for president, you know you're going to win. She's saying you better be thinking about what's about to happen because you're going to win. I kind of like that thought because Jesus tells us the same thing, basically. Count the cost. Count the cost. You know, a builder doesn't begin to build unless he's calculated to see if he can complete, you know, the building. Otherwise, he gets part way, can't finish, and people ridicule him because couldn't finish building. So we count the cost. What is this cost? You need to be prepared that when the Lord opens that door, when he saves you, when you call upon him to have mercy on you, count the cost. John chapter 17, great chapter again. Just gazing through that and you think on it and what it says, that they're not of the world. The world hates them. There should be many different levels of animosity in a Christian's life. Not all of them will happen at the same time, but there should be. And sometimes it's indirect, and it comes through those who say and who could actually be on your side. Peter had just made the revelation of who Jesus is, and remember, it wasn't his. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. The correction, the rebuke, the reproof that the Lord Jesus gave to Peter was, you're not setting your minds on the things of God, but on man's things. You need to get your mind set in the right place. Jesus is saying, hey, I've got to go. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priest. I'm going to be scourged, mocked, spit upon. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. No, may that never be. Your body's not in the right place. Sorry for the yawn. That's been a very, very long week. So in politics, you have all of this stuff going on. We see all this wickedness. People trying to slow down the agenda of the president. The president going two guns blazing at the media, and it looks like anybody who seems to try and get in his way. And it's just got to a point where it's almost like a circus. And I'm not speaking against Donald Trump, actually. I got to tell you, I'm not so much if I say I'm his supporter. I think he genuinely does have a concern for the United States of America. I think that far more than past person, Hillary Clinton, excuse me, I think he has a much more genuine heart about the United States of America than Hillary Clinton does. That's just me. But should we be involved in politics? Here I am trying to give you some of my thoughts and opinion. Should we? Should we dive in there? Some people with eschatology, like postmodernism, will actually tell you that, the Christian, the world should be, become more and more Christian. Then Christ will come, and there you go. I think that it's good to be involved, to know what's going on, to be aware of what's happening in the world, even if you don't have the time to do it yourself, that there would be others in your life who could help speak into your life and let you know what's going on, and and how it's happening and all that good stuff. I don't think it's wrong to be involved in politics. God gives each of us different gifts. Each of us is called, and we are called from different walks of life and different areas of life. And I believe that God knows exactly what he's doing. So I tell you that, yeah, I think right off the top of my head, if you want to be involved in politics, if you like to follow along to see what's happening, I think that that's a good thing. I think in some respects it's not bad to have an opinion, but I think it comes down to our ability to have a discourse. Can we talk? Can we share with one another? Can we talk about the things in such a manner without getting to a place where things get so full of anger and strife and rage? And sadly, I believe that is what both major parties have done for so long, and that is tried to instill fear and rage to where we can't have a civil discourse, a heated civil discourse, even I'm going to yell at you, you yell at me, but at the end of the day, we are going to still be Americans, and we're still going to love on one another, and we're going to try to do the best for one another regardless. We've gotten so far down the line where we just want to have people afraid. I saw a music video just the other day from so long ago. I shouldn't say long ago, back in the Reagan time frame. And what is it? The Land of Illusion, Land of Confusion, Phil Collins or Genesis. That's the group, yeah. And Reagan is in office, so I think it's like 84. And it's amazing to think, because he came in tough talking. He came in, and I mean, if you go back to it, we had the Star Wars thing going on. The Russians sit down to negotiate. They wanted to have Star Wars on the table as a negotiating part. He was like, nope, that's not open for negotiation. Negotiations broke off right away. People were like, you're going to lead us into nuclear war. That was the scream. And what ends up happening is we ended up quite okay. As followers of Christ, it's okay to know what's going on in our world. It's okay to know what's happening, to be aware of the forces that are trying to go against that which is of the Lord. Contrary to popular belief, America is not a Christian nation. It is a nation that was created, started, and raised up by God for his purposes. We do have Judeo-Christian backgrounds, per se. A lot of that. But we're not a Christian nation. We are an instrument in his hand, but we're not a Christian nation. I would so rejoice if we were. But we're not. Our emphasis, when I say a Christian nation, our emphasis isn't on Christ, isn't on Christ being known and made known and exalted. Our emphasis is not placed upon following in his footsteps and glorifying the Father and obeying all that the Father has handed down. Christian nation would be one that's desiring to see the works of Christ continue and That would be in the proclamation of the gospel, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything that he's commanded, and to walk in a manner worthy of his calling and gospel, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we don't do that. We don't do that, and now we are so rapidly going into an opposite direction of that. So, yes, I believe it's okay to be involved in politics. I believe it's okay to be in any legal occupation here in the United States. Anywhere that you have the ability to choose an occupation, provided, again, it's legal. Unless it is something, and I should clarify that, unless it is something that goes into complete contradiction and violation of God's laws, his moral character. So I do not believe it's okay to be an abortion doctor. I believe all life is created of God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I can get into some other aspects there. That's another topic, which would be kind of interesting. It seems to me that as we look in Scripture, and Scripture is our authority, that there seems to be a certain place where God holds people accountable for the death of an unborn child. It's interesting that we don't necessarily, and again, they didn't have the medical ability to tell if someone was pregnant. You know, you spend 5 days. Yes, you're pregnant. They didn't have that then. There was only a certain process by which they could know, but there was a certain threshold by which they were able to identify when the person was pregnant. When they were able to identify the person was pregnant, then there was basically a basis that there's life inside of you. God has put within you a human life. And so things changed at that point. That's, again, that's really good off-the-cuff type of question type of thing where we could sit and go through the Scriptures to look and see about culpability. Even if we didn't know, does that make us innocent? That's not the case. If we were to step on an unmarked grave, even if we didn't know it was there, God would still hold us accountable. We would still be accountable because he is just and righteous, and he can't be bought or paid off. This is his word. This is the way it is. And when you break that, cross it, there's consequences. So we could look at any number of those things later on. So politics, yeah. We've got all these things going on in the world, wars, rumors of wars. Are we going to die from nuclear holocaust? We have all of these senators and House representatives that are just being brought to light the insidiousness of their lives, how they use our tax dollars to pay for slush funds and all sorts of things. It's pretty amazing. So yes, I do believe we can be involved with politics. I don't think it's a bad thing to know what's going on, to know how to pray for our president and for those who are in the House and the Senate, for the Supreme Court. I think those are good things to be aware of, to have a grasp on. That being said, I don't necessarily See, I still struggle with, do you abstain from voting when there's not a clear-cut Christian candidate on the ballot? I wrestle with that one again, but I do believe that by what I see in Scripture, that you can vote for and cast your vote for a non-Christian. I think that's represented by God in His Word. And in the context of it, I think it can be shown. All right, we'll jump into another topic here very, very shortly. Don't know where we're going to go, but I'm going to put us on another, put us on a little Grace Gym thing here. And we're going to go from there. And yeah, we're going to do that. And then we'll come back and we'll kind of finish it up for the day. Go to the chat room. And pose your question there. Go on to Facebook or Twitter. And then send your question, comment there, and we'll get it on the air and we'll get you going. All right. Let me go ahead and put this. And I'll be back in about 4 minutes. See you then.
He Cares for Me by Charles Spurgeon. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It is a happy way of soothing sorrow when we can feel He cares for me. Christian, do not dishonor God by always wearing a brow of worry. Come, cast your burden upon your God. You are staggering beneath a weight which your Father would not feel. What seems like a crushing burden to you would be but as small dust to Him. Nothing is so sweet as to lie passive in God's hands and know no will but His. O child of suffering, be patient. God has not overlooked you in His providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Do not sit down in despair. There is one who cares for you. His all-seeing eye is fixed on you. His all-loving heart beats with pity for your woe. His omnipotent hand shall yet bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom shall give place to the morning light. If you are one of His family, He will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Do not doubt His grace because of your troubles, but believe that He loves you as much in seasons of distress as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave providing to the God of providence. If God cares for you, why need you care also? Can you trust Him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come, then, soul, be done with fretful worry, and leave all your concerns in the hand of your gracious God. This Puritan devotional has been brought to you by Grace Gems, a treasury of ageless sovereign grace writings. Please visit our website at www.gracegems.org, where you can browse and freely download thousands of choice books, sermons, and quotes, along with select audio messages. No donations accepted. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Totally spaced out there. I apologize. That is something I was off in. Oh man. Okay. Well, that's embarrassing. That's what you get when you do open forum night. Okay. I'm Shane Sands. I'm back. And I don't know if this broadcast is going to make it. But hey, we'll just have fun with it as we go. All right. So what next? How about the thing about Arminianism and Calvinism? You know, where do we draw the line with, you know, the doctrines of grace versus our ability to choose? Like, I can give up my salvation. I can reject God's grace and just continue going down a path of hardness versus the doctrines of election and eternal salvation, those types of things. Where does that take us, man? That, you know, I wrestle with that so much sometimes because I don't consider myself a Calvinist, but I'd have to say that that's probably the one area dealing with Calvinism and Arminianism, those who have different views on salvation and God's sovereignty. Not that salvation isn't in Christ Jesus alone. Just do we see it where we actually choose, or were we chosen? I think it's not so much about that. I think it's about our pride. We have all these different denominations. We have all these different religions. We have all, and it's pride. What I think is right. What I'm doing is right. No, you don't see it right. You don't get to say, we're not going to be here, we're not doing this, blah, blah. Because you don't understand the scriptures correctly. I do know there's an aspect of that. We look at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and Jesus told the Sadducees, man, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. To the Pharisees, basically was saying, okay, you know the scriptures, but you don't know them. You see them from a completely prideful, distorted view. That's not good either. So what do we do here? Well, I think we learned to love. It sounds easy, but that is so hard. We love. By this will all men know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. Just as I've loved you. So how does that look? How do we put that into context? Well, I'm thinking, my friends, it's just something really hard to do. Just something difficult. Something, oh my goodness, that we just have to work at. Because we all like to feel justified and that we're right. We get accused, beat up on, not necessarily physically. We get ridiculed. And what is it we're trying? We hide it under the guise of that we're trying to represent God correctly. And honestly, I don't know if God needs us that much to do that. He's going to set apart those for himself. He is going to finish what he has started. We're just called to love one another. And I think that if we think that someone is wrong in something, there's ways to go about sitting down with someone and going through the text and saying, here's what God's word says, and this is why it's like this. And then hopefully, we grow in Christ. We grow in the knowledge of who God is. We grow in love. And we can speak the truth to one another in love. So I don't think splitting over the doctrines of grace versus free will is justified. Even when we try the one part of saying that we're doing it to maintain peace, we're splitting to maintain peace. You're not splitting to maintain peace. You're splitting because you don't want to love. We don't want to sit down and work through it. We don't want to sit down. We don't want to take the chance that we could be shown that we were wrong. I think that's what it comes down to. It's just our pride. It's just our pride. What else is there to talk about? Let's think. No. You know, I'm actually feeling like I'm just starting to shut down now, which tells me that there's probably some really good stuff that's happening. So I know I've just been blah, 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 blah. I don't think this episode goes on to the continues anyway, but I still can't figure out what's wrong with my headphones and why I can't get anything. I can't hear people called in, or I don't know what the deal is. We'll have to figure that out. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get ready and call it a night. We'll stop the program here. Don't know what else is going to happen. I think that I'd like to end tonight's program with very simply a call to trust in Christ. I can't think of any better way to begin or end or have it in the middle than declaring to you the praises of the Most High. See, the gospel, the good news, is good news because we've done something horrible. We have committed murder. We have committed slander, and we have committed every violation there can be against holy God. The Bible tells us that when we've broken one, even the least of the laws, when we break a law, that we're guilty of breaking the entire law. The good news is that we who are rebels and lawbreakers, those who do not love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we don't love our neighbors as we love ourselves, because we are dead in our sins and trespasses, the good news is that God did not leave us to die in that state. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He lived a life that we could not live, never sinning in thought, word, or deed. Then He died the death that we deserve. See, this glorious gospel is about what God has done to glorify Himself in intervening and making a way where there was no way that we could have eternal life. My friends, there is no greater joy. There's no greater privilege or honor than when we have the opportunity to declare the praises of Christ, to follow after him. So you see, my friends, because we are these vile rule breakers, dead, the good news is that God has made a way for him to be legally justified in declaring us not only pardoned, but innocent, and giving us the righteousness of his Son credited to us. And he's done that one remarkable way through his Son, the Lord Jesus, by us having faith and hope in Jesus. That's pretty amazing. And then God calls us to repent, to turn from our sin, turn from our rebellion, turn from all our wickedness, turn, come and acknowledge and humbly bow before and tell him that we have not honored him as we should, that we have not kept his word, that we scattered our favors, that we have not obeyed his voice. Tell him and come as you are, acknowledging his goodness, acknowledging his righteousness, turning from our sin, from our own ways, our own thoughts, our own processes, and giving the glory and praise to him for making the way where there was none. Rejoicing in Christ. My friends, turn from your sin. Turn from your vileness. Turn from the things that the pleasures of this world that draw you away from God, the very laws that God has imprinted in our hearts, our minds, the very things that we know that are right and good. Turn from the things that are bad and evil, and turn to those things which are good. The greatest is Christ. The greatest is turning from sin and trusting in Jesus. Worthy is he. Worthy is he. Well, it's that time of the night. It's time for me to sign off. It's been an interesting night, that's for sure. Once again, the headphones issue. I'm sorry for all of that and all the other things that went on. My friends, I'm getting ready to sign off. So I'm going to say once again, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, turn from your sin today. Turn from your rebellion against God. Call out and ask for mercy and forgiveness, and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Trust in him. Call upon him while you still can. Repent, believe the gospel, be forgiven and washed clean, and be given eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen.